I was eating junk. I had just had two children back to back.
I used to not be able to get on the ground.
I never, ever daily exercised.
Before, if I'd get down, I'd need a chair or something to help me get back up.
I was 84 pounds heavier at one time.
I was always a big dude, but I couldn't move around.
That all changed when they met Diamond Dallas Page.
I started doing yoga, man. I started doing a thing called DDP yoga. It's not your mama's yoga.
WCW heavyweight champion, known for his signature move, the Diamond Cutter.
Diamond Cutter!
Took what he learned recovering from an injury and years in the ring and created DDP yoga. This time,
it's your time. Working out combined with the eating habits, it was a huge difference. I felt so much better.
It's a lot of fun for me because I never used to be able to be active. Now I'm on the floor, I'm rolling around, it's pretty cool. More than importantly, I just want to be alive. I'm down about 110 pounds.
DDP yoga can work for anyone.
Bang!
DDP.
DDP Radio.
High five.
Hello, my fellow DDP Yoga Warriors. It is Wednesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, here broadcast live from the DDP Radio Megaplex. My name is Mike Mullins, and with me, as always, per usual, my partner in crime, my slightly skinnier, partly darker brother from another mother, Robert McLaren, is here with me. How are you, Robert?
Doing good, man. You know, it's been a long, we had a long winter, so I'm not sure I'm still darker, but definitely
yeah,
skinnier.
I mean darker, more macabre. You're more of a the night to my dark, to my light, if you will. I'm kind of daylight, like in the shadows a little bit, kind of like mysterious.
Yeah, because you're not exactly light, but yeah, I would say I'm darker than you.
yeah, exactly. And Stacey Morris is off tonight. I think we can say this now because the surprise is out of the bag. She went out and surprised Diamond Dallas Page out in Vegas for his Cauliflower Alley induction. Hopefully she's having a great time out there right now. And she's having a blast with DDP in the workshop, and everything looked like a blast. I was bummed I couldn't make it out there, but big congratulations to DDP for those huge, huge awards given to him by the Cauliflower Alley Club this year. And it looks like everybody who was there just had a great, great time.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, because I've been watching all the photos that Christina and Garrett and Josh McAdoo were putting up, and it just looks like everybody is having just an awesome time out there.
Absolutely. And Robert, real quick, a technical thing we're doing on the air, but I know this is an off-air topic, but when I called in today, I didn't get the option for hit number one, I don't think, which I usually do when I call in. So you might want to check in maybe a couple callers and see if Zach is on the line. I try to get that information to you beforehand. But as we're letting the cat out of the bag, we have an awesome show for you tonight here on DDP Radio, as we probably have one, if not the most, inspiring guest ever on DDP Radio. If you ever had a question on whether you can do something or when you are able to do something, or if you have it in you to do anything, listen to our show tonight and you will ultimately find out that with a little bit of modification, anything, and I mean anything, is possible. It's going to be an awesome show. In just a few minutes, we're going to have our guest on the line, a former WWE superstar. And Robert got this done. Thank you for the awesome guest this week, Robert. But in less than a year from the first time he stepped in the ring, in a year's time, he was green as grass rookie all the way to being in the ring with Hulk Hogan, WWE CEO Vince McMahon, The Big Show, the biggest and baddest in the WWE. And the kicker, he did this with what most people would consider a magical physical limitation. But Zach Gowen joins us tonight. Zach lost his leg above the knee at the age of 8 years old and has overcome unbelievable odds and probably has the most unique story in the history of professional wrestling. And we're excited to talk to Zach tonight. And the reason why Zach is on DDP Radio, you know, inspiration aside, is he has taken on a new challenge and he is kicking some serious ass on the DDP yoga mat. And once again, proving that he is not limited, he is ultimate. And the ultimate DDP Yoga Warrior, if you have any excuses why you can't get your ass off the couch and get on the mat, leave him at the door, because Zach Gowen has the ultimate excuse, but he still gets up every single day and proves the naysayers wrong. every day, and we're going to talk to Zach about his DDP yoga practice, as well as his wrestling career, and he's overcome quite a few obstacles, not just in the ring, not just with his leg, but, you know, sometimes when that bright light of the ring fades, you find yourself in a whole different battle, and Zach has overcome more than one battle in his life, and we're excited to talk to him tonight on DDP Radio right here at DDPRadio.com. Thank you so much, Robert, for getting that done. That was an awesome coup for a guest this week.
No problem. No, he had contacted me for something unrelated. I thought that would be great. And we actually, you saved the day with that note about pushing one. Zach has been on hold and he's ready to go.
Oh, awesome, man. I guess I should give him the proper introduction here.
I think you have already.
It's my pleasure to welcome to the show a man who defies the odds on a daily basis. He's been to the very top of the wrestling business. He's had more highs and lows than Wall Street. And we are excited to talk to him about his journey from his tragic beginnings to his hugely buzzed about WWE days, his battle with ego and addiction, and his rise from all of it, his DDP yoga practice, and much more. Welcome to the show, Zach Gowen. Zach, hello.
Hey, thanks so much, Mike. I don't know if I can follow that introduction up. I think we should probably wrap this interview up now. It's going to be all downhill from here, man.
I apologize for keeping you on the line so long, but we're really excited to talk to you tonight. Because here on DDP Radio, you know Dallas, he's hugely motivated by inspirational stories and inspirational people. And, you know, in your life, you've risen from the ashes more times than we can count. And first off, I want to talk to you about the DDP yoga practice you've been doing lately. You're a beast. I saw your before and after picture online a couple days ago. How long have you been doing the DDP yoga now?
Thanks. All together, 16 weeks. I did the 13 week advanced program that was in the guide that came with the DDP yoga package, and I've been kind of freestyling it now for the past 3 weeks or so. Beyond that,
awesome, man. And Robert deals with a lot of people who write in, people with different disabilities or limitations, it's kind of hard to respond to those situations because we've never walked that path, we've never been through that. How is your DDP yoga practice different from somebody who has full bodied abilities? I mean, how do you modify your positions to get the most out of your workouts?
You just do it. As unsatisfactory as that answer is, you just figure it out. Like, people ask me all the time, like, how did you become a professional wrestler on one leg when it's never been done before? And the answer is, I became a professional wrestler with one leg. I just did it. The work will teach you how. And just like, I lost my leg when I was 8 years old, so I have a lifetime of figuring things out. My motto, what rolls through my head more than any other phrase is figure it out. It's all about figuring it out, and doing DDP yoga is no different. A lot of the movements I can't do, I'm missing a limb, and so what I do is I figure out what muscle group it's targeting, what the point of the movement is, and which is really easy to do because I can do it on the right side. So I know what muscles are activating and I know what we're trying to accomplish here. And then you just modify it. I use a chair a lot. So when we do the road warrior positions, I just set up a chair and I kind of sit on the chair and I stick my other leg out and I'm able to accomplish all of the movements. But I gotta say, man, like I don't really have a great deep satisfactory answer. A lot of people, they say, how do you wrestle on one leg? And my answer to that is I don't know. I've never wrestled on two. So it's like how do I do? I just do it, man. But the point being is, there are times when I get frustrated or I don't have the strength or the balance to pull certain maneuvers off, especially in the beginning, and I wanted to quit because I got frustrated. But something happened around week 4 or 5 when everything just kind of clicked, and there's such great satisfaction in figuring out the movements and figuring out how to make them work for me. And it just kind of hooked me, man. Like the whole program sunk its claws into me and hasn't let go.
That's awesome. And I tell anybody who's been in the wrestling business, I was in there for 10 years. I worked on the indies. And anybody who's not in the wrestling business that's not doing DDP yoga is not doing yourself a service if you were in the business. And, you know, Zach, I actually I went to an indie show probably about a year ago, and it was down in Lynn, Mass., and Matt Hardy was on it, and you were on it, and Big Van Vader was on it.
Yeah.
And I, you know, you've been doing this for a while now. You look like a young kid still. But you've been doing this for many years, and, you know, your run in WWE was 11, 12 years ago, and you work a style that's pretty rough. You're flying all over the place. You're bumping hard. You're you know, you're coming from, you know, high above. How do you keep up that kind of impact, you know, after all this time? You know, you work a rough style, and people don't realize, you know, you've been around this business for a long time, and you stole the show at that show, man. You know, you had the crowd going. And you were probably working as much as anybody on that card.
Thank you. That really means a lot. I work hard. I do work hard, and it's nice to be recognized for that. And every show that I go to, my goal is to steal the show. It's been like that since day one. You know, I don't care if there's five people there or 50,000. To me, if someone, and it blows my mind because I'm 32 years old and I grew up the biggest wrestling fan in the world. And so it blows my mind that somebody would actually put money down and pay for a ticket to watch me perform. Even if it's just one person, I'm going to make sure they get their money's worth. So I certainly appreciate those kind words. And I love the business. I love wrestling, you know. I love traveling. I love being on the road. I love interacting with all the fans, and I love sharing my story. You know, basically anything I do, whether it's professional wrestling or speaking to kids in high schools and middle schools, or to making DVDs, documentaries, my job and the reason for my existence is to share my story. And so wrestling provides an ultimate platform for that, and I don't take that lightly at all. And so I'm very grateful that I do get a chance to be in the ring. But as far as my in-ring style, man, it's nothing but the grace of God. I haven't had a serious injury that I'm able to keep going, you know, 13 years into wrestling. And quite frankly, I felt really good physically. I remember the show you're talking about. I felt good physically then. But now, after doing TDP yoga, man, I feel like I'm 18 again. And if you guys talk to Stevie Richards, it was so funny. We did a show a month or two ago in New Jersey, and I was flying around the ring that night like I was 18 years old again, man. And I swear it was exhilarating. And he pulled me aside after, and he was putting me over, which I appreciated because I'm a big mark for him. But I told him right then and there, and this really started my journey with into the core of DDP yoga. I told him, I go, listen, man, this DDP yoga has changed the game for me. And so the reason I'm able to fly around like I do now is really in large part thanks to DDP yoga.
And the thing is, I mean, the one-legged wrestler thing is unique. It's a unique property. But people aren't going to come over and see that every month, you know, come to see you every month just because of that. So there needs to be something more. I mean, that's, you know, get people to come in. Oh, this is interesting. It's unique. Let's see this. But you're a great worker, man, and that's what keeps people coming back every time. I mean, what do you still learn at this time, at this day? Like, do you still learn from people like Stevie Richards and people you're in the ring with? Or do you think that, you know, you've reached where you want to be in the business?
No, thank you. And I appreciate this interview because I just feel like we're just putting Zach over. Like, let's put Zach over for 20 minutes, but which we can do it all night, man, if you keep it coming. But but no, man, every time I get in the ring, it's a learning experience. And I experiment too, and I try new things, and I try to grow and evolve. And you're right, because the gimmick is, and I've been wrestling with this too, you know, inside of my own head, trying to get out of my own shadow, basically, right? Because I haven't been on American television, like you said, in 12 or 13 years, yet I'm the busiest I've ever been. as an active in-ring performer, and that's thanks to the work that I put in now. So it's so gratifying to be able to make a living off of the work that I put in now, rather than well, Zach just booked because, you know, he was featured on WWE for a few months. You know, I've tried to step away from that, and I would really like to be recognized for the work that I put in. So thank you for saying that.
And I want to talk about this documentary, too, because I saw the trailer. Robert sent me the trailer a few days ago, and it looks amazing. And I always tell people, I've worked in radio up at the biggest rock station in the world for, I mean, up in New England, for 12 years. And there gets to a point where people start to recognize you. And you've got about a two-year period, and excuse my language, but where you can just be a dick. I mean, I got there. People start telling you how great you are all the time. People start... you know, you're the next big thing. You know, you start to believe you're on hype. And forgive me if I'm wrong, but according to the DVD, you know, your ego kind of, you know, got the best of you at one point.
Oh, my God. That's understatement of the year right there, man. Congratulations. Absolutely. Of course, that's what happened. The problem was it was a manifestation of the exact opposite of what was going on in my head, because I felt like I didn't belong, and I felt so inferior, and I felt like I didn't, you know, deserve, and I wasn't good enough, and I had all these self-doubt and self-pity, you know. I victimized myself, basically. And so I couldn't walk around expressing these feelings, you know, and so I went to the other end of the spectrum, the opposite end, the extreme, and I acted like a dick. I acted like a dick for more than 2 years, you know.
Yeah.
And so how all that stuff came out was through ego, and I just wasn't comfortable with myself, you know. I've been restless, irritable, and discontent since I can remember. So I wasn't emotionally and spiritually mature enough or ready to receive that gift in the form of a WWE contract. At the age I got it, and I acted out, really, really, really hard.
Now, if
did that affect your longevity in the long run, or were they just thrilled to have you that, you know, it didn't really, they were... You know, I don't know what I'm trying to say. Did it affect your longevity having that kind of chip on your shoulder? Did it rub people the wrong way and maybe, you know, make your exit a little bit more swiftly?
Oh, yeah, I got a fight. Yeah, man. Yeah, they showed me the door, man. They gave me a swift kick in the butt and said, have a nice day. I signed a 3-year contract with WWE. I was gone within a year. Because the locker room, I was so disliked in that locker room, because of how I acted and my immaturity and my other issues that I had going on. It definitely affects, it's so weird. I had, and I'm so grateful for it now, you know, because I'm in such a healthy place, but my career arc is absolutely backwards. You know, most guys work 7, 8, 9, 10 years on the indies, and they go to Japan, and they go overseas, and they hone their craft, and then they're rewarded with a contract. My contract happened at the very beginning of my career, and then I kind of worked backwards from there. You know, and it's taken about this long for me to get in a place in my head where I feel like where I'm at and what I'm doing with my life isn't a step down from my past job. And so that's been one of the biggest obstacles for me to overcome, is the fact that, you know, wherever I'm at, it never compared to what I once had. And so I had to walk through that, and it's taken about 10 years, but I'm grateful I can say now that I'm career-wise, life-wise, you know, whatever you want to say, I'm as happy as I've ever been.
That's
it's
awesome.
Near impossible for someone who gets that kind of success at your age to kind of fully grasp what's expected of you. I've never been on that level of where you are at, but here's a kid, what were you, 19, 20 years old, who just came from, you know, a regular kid, you know, working, you know, a few shows on the indies, to being in there with guys like Vince McMahon and Hulk Hogan and The Big Show. And you can't possibly, you know, that can't be a normal transition. It can't be something like, okay, here we are now. It's got to mess with your head a little bit.
Exactly, and I want to make something very, very clear that it's not WWE's fault for how that happened or for how it went down. They saw money in their business, right? And they saw money in me, and they offered me a contract. Now, I agreed to that contract. I agreed to the terms, and I was to hold my end of the bargain up after I signed on that dotted line. And the fact is that I didn't. So the blame can't go, you know, solely on WWE. There's operating a business, but looking back, I was definitely not ready in terms of, you know, even physically, mentally, spiritually, I was not ready to receive that gift.
It would seem like that it would be hard to know if somebody was really ready for something like that until you put them in the fire.
And that's really what the wrestling business is, man, because you gotta make hay while the sun's shining. You have to strike while the iron's hot. And at that moment, I was an unknown entity. So if I was in TNA a little bit longer and my story kind of leaked out, the impact wouldn't have been as great. Or if they sent me to OVW and to developmental and somebody got wind of my story and kind of leaked it out, then the impact would have been lessened. And so, you know, to their credit, they saw a guy who's a professional wrestler who has one leg and nobody knows about him yet. So, you know what, let's get him on TV right away.
And your story is one of those stories that, you know, you've come back from so much. I mean, as an 8-year-old kid to have to deal with that. And then later on in life with, you know, the ego and the addiction taking hold. And I'm really excited to look at this documentary. But without giving away too much, I mean, when did things finally start to click for you and you realize that, you know, maybe things aren't going the way that I think they should be going?
I had to hit a bottom, as they say. A place where I ended up bankrupt, right? I read zeros all the way, physically, mentally, spiritually. Everything came up zero. And it wasn't until the pain became great enough that I was open, for change, or I was open to the recovery process. I mean, things got really, really bad. You talk about addiction or alcoholism, and if you've been through the fire and made it through, and you're in recovery now, then you know what it's like. Or if you know a loved one that has been through that pain, then you know exactly what it's like, because it's a mother to deal with, you know. I had to get to a point where there was no alternatives, right? I had to literally, like, reach a turning point in my life. Things got so bad for me with the addiction that, and I was so hopeless, right? And I was so desperate that I knew I was coming to the end of the road with my drug use and my alcoholism. What that end of the road looked like, I wasn't sure, but I knew something was going to change. Whether it was death, whether I was going to die, or I was going to get better, I was open to either one, whichever came first. And that's how desperate and hopeless I was. I knew I was at the end, and if death came first, great, or if recovery came first, great. But that's the state of mind I was in. So I really had to beat me into submission. And I had to really surrender to the power of addiction for me to start my first step into recovery. But I had to go to those depths, and I had to hit the ground hard and fast for me to kind of bounce back up and to be where I'm at now, and with all of the gratitude that comes with that, you know. But yeah, I had to get to that really, really low point, and I'm thankful that death didn't come first.
Addiction is such a powerful thing, and we've talked to Jake, you know, numerous times, and Scott Hall about this, and it's one of those things that everything you know is wrong. And, you know, me personally, you know, I was in the business for 11 years total. I was to the point where I was physically addicted to painkillers, from years of bumping. I didn't abuse them to a point where I was dangerous, but I couldn't go a day without them. I couldn't go to the store without them. I couldn't go to the mall without them. You get to a point where it's you lie in bed and you think your heart's stopping, but you don't go to the hospital because you've kind of accepted that, okay, I might be dying right now. It's one of those things that are so deep and ingrained into you. How do you pull yourself out of that? How did you initially go through the withdrawal period? Did you go to rehab? Did you just kind of just get fed up and say, I'm just going to bite my teeth and just do this?
Oh, yeah, man. I tried to. I knew that. And here's the mad. It's insanity. Addiction is supernatural in how it kind of alters your reality. You know, I can't differentiate the true from the false. That's how messed up my perspective was. But I tried to quit on my own for 2 years. And every month I'd go to my buddy's house and I try to like, you know, sweat it out and go through a withdrawal period and make promises to myself, make promises to people around me. And the thing is, I meant those promises. I said I would never touch him again, and I didn't want to touch him again. I didn't want to go back to that. But invariably, I always did. You see, my life was really crappy. And my life sucked when I was on drugs, right? But the insane part is that my life got significantly worse when I was off the drugs. So I saw absolutely no way out. And that's, you know, I described earlier my sense of hopelessness. I mean, that's where it came from, where death was almost welcomed. Death or recovery, whichever came first, that was welcome because I was so hopeless, you know. And I classify myself as an alcoholic and an addict because once I start, I tend to lose control of my consumption. And once I stop, I can't seem to stay stopped no matter what I do. And so I was at, you know, absolute sense of hopelessness and desperation, and I reached out for the first time in my life, and I reached out for help, and I genuinely meant it when I asked for it and when I called WWE. And they have that wellness policy, and they've helped so many guys, and they saved so many lives, mine included, you know, and they sent me to treatment for 30 days, and that planted the seeds of recovery. That was, I took off on a plane February 14th, 2010, and that was the date of my last drink and drug, you know. So they planted the seeds of recovery for me in treatment, and from there on, I'm on my own in terms of finding my own recovery, and I found it, man.
That's awesome. It says a lot about WWE. I was going to say, it says a lot about the WWE as a company that you've been gone for 12 years, and there's they'll still pick up the tab for you.
Well, here's the thing, and at WWE, since day one, they told me 12 years ago, all we're going to do is give you an opportunity. And that's what they did for me as a wrestler, and that's what they did for me as a hopeless drug addict and alcoholic. They gave me an opportunity. The rest was up to me. So once I left treatment, and you'll see it from a lot of guys, they'll go to treatment and they'll do well in the confines of a treatment facility. But once the rubber meets the road, they go right back to what they go back to,
yes,
in terms of drug and alcohol, because there's no aftercare and there's no continuation. There's no evolution of recovery. And to my credit, I don't know if it's my credit or God's credit or what, I had enough willingness and I was desperate enough to change that out of treatment, I moved into a sober living facility, right? So I moved into another facility for 6 months with 19 other guys that are newly, freshly sober that are trying to get back on their feet. And that's where I learned the life skills, and that's where I got introduced to the spiritual solution and the recovery program that continues to be the biggest part of my life on a daily basis. was through that, you know. So it's not something that I graduate from and all of a sudden I'm cured and I'm good. This is an everyday thing for me. Unless I do my due diligence, trouble is right around the corner.
And a big part of the recovery process is giving back to addicts, giving back to the community, to people in general. And you're doing a lot of speaking now. How has that come about? And you know, what kind of atmosphere do you talk in? You know, obviously you have so many stories and so many life lessons you can give people. How has that become a part of your life, the speaking engagements and giving back to people who might be in the same similar, you know, position that you were in?
You know, life is awesome, dude. Like life is so funny how things happen. And for me, I just say yes a lot, right? I need to stay honest, open, and willing. And what that looks like for me is the word yes. That's how it manifests in my life. So when someone says, "Hey, Zach, I'm promoting a wrestling show. I want to book you for it." And I say, "Okay, great. You know, here's the information. Let's make it happen." And they say, "Okay, that's great. We'll make it happen. Can you come in the day before and speak to an entire middle school for me and share your story and maybe promote the show?" Right? And so my first impulse is hell no. Like, that's the last, like, public speaking, are you kidding? The last thing I want to do is to get in front of a group of kids and talk about, like, how I messed up in my life and don't be like me or whatever it is, or share my triumphs or my victory. I don't know. But the last thing I want to do is get in front of people and share my story and bare my soul. But if I say no, that opens Pandora's box for me to say no to a lot of other things. And the more I say no, the less open I am, and potentially I could put myself in danger of a relapse. And so if I'm able to do it, the answer is always yes. And so I said yes. And I spoke to this middle school, and I bared my soul to them, and it was one of the most cathartic and awesome experiences of my life, and kids were moved, and it was just, you know, totally fourth dimensional. Like, the connection made with the audience was much more than I could ever do in the ring, or I ever have done in the ring. And so the light bulb went off in my head, thinking, wow, well, here's a whole other universe I could tap into that allows me to be of service to others, that I can share my story, that I can help others, and ultimately help myself. Because the more I talk about my struggles and how I found a way out, the stronger my sobriety becomes. And the more people I help, the stronger my recovery is. And so it's just kind of one of these things that naturally evolved. Speaking publicly, and I speak all the time at schools now, and I speak as much as I wrestle. So I'm always on the road, or I'm always doing something, but it's one of those things that just kind of happened, and because I was open to it, it became one of the most beautiful things in my life.
And another part of, you know, you telling your story and getting your story out there and inspiring others, is this Finding Zach Gallen documentary. I was telling the trailer. I'm literally going to pick it up when I get done with this. I'm going to get the digital download of it off the site. But obviously you have a story to tell. You have probably one of the most unique stories, not just in the wrestling business, but in life. And there's so much to learn from that story, you know, overcoming odds, overcoming addiction, overcoming ego, and you know, making anything possible. How did this documentary come about, and what do you expect from it? What is your goals from, you know, putting this out there and putting your story out there?
What I do is I share my story in the hopes of inspiring others, or planting seeds of inspiration, or ultimately to be of service to God and to the people around me. And how I do that is by sharing my story. So I do that through various platforms, right? I do that in a wrestling ring. I do that on stage at speaking engagements, so this is just a natural extension of that, of actually putting my story on a DVD or a digital download, and the people that were there living it with me. So it's not just the wrestling aspect of it, which is a huge part, because you know, when I was a kid at 8 years old battling cancer, wrestling provided a much needed escape for me from the horrors of that disease, you know. And then fast forward 10 years later, wrestling gave me a career with the WWE and that roller coaster ride. Fast forward 10 years after that, my involvement with wrestling saved my life because it allowed me to go to treatment, which planted the seeds of recovery for me. So wrestling has been, you know, kind of an integral part of my life. But ultimately, I share my story in the hopes of others finding my story and them finding inspiration and hope. And so all of my trials and tribulations, my victories over them serve as a testimony. And I hope that people get the message when they see my story. And so the DVD is really just a natural extension of me just kind of sharing my story.
I got to ask a wrestling question real quick. As a 19-year-old, how nervous were you to get in there with the chairman and CEO?
I wasn't nervous at all. I wasn't. The only thing I was nervous about wrestling then was the fact that we were at the Pepsi Arena in Denver, Colorado, and the air was really thin. So I was nervous about getting blown up and not being physically able to kind of get through it. Which, thank goodness, I was able to. But we went over that match like 2 weeks prior. See, here's the thing. You have a one-legged wrestler who has less than 30 matches up until that point, and then you have a 55-year-old non-wrestler in a semi-main event on a major pay-per-view. So a lot of things potentially could go very, 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 very wrong in that match. So what they did was they flew me out to Stanford like 2 weeks before for like a weekend. I think they pulled me off the road and I spent a weekend in Stanford with Vince, and we went over step by step. Like, that match was so choreographed that I could do it in my sleep. I could probably step into that match into the ring now with Vince and do that match. That's how ingrained it was into my head. So I wasn't nervous about messing up or getting hurt or whatever. But I'll tell you what. One thing that did freak me out was the fact when I drop kicked him in the head with the chair, he had a chair turned the wrong way. So the chair split his head from eyebrow to ear. And I looked back at Vince, and there's a geyser of blood shooting up from his head. And at that point, I got a little bit nervous, you know, because that wasn't supposed to happen.
How much blood there was. I mean, it was concerning.
It was weird, dude. It freaked me out, man. And I think we had some more stuff to get to in that match, but I think they decided to end it right then and there for fear of Vince bleeding out on pay-per-view in front of the world. But beyond that, no, I wasn't nervous at all, because the only time I get nervous is if I'm afraid I'm going to get hurt, or I'm afraid that things aren't going to go as planned, or whatever. But that match was rehearsed through and through and through. Is that I wasn't the least bit worried about it.
And you've been working with another great guy recently, Gregory Iron, who's an amazing talent himself. How did that partnership come about, and how long you guys been working together now?
Thank you. We're a tag team, man. We're called the Handicapped Heroes. Yeah, Gregory Iron has cerebral palsy, and he's the only wrestler in the world with cerebral palsy. He was inspired to be a wrestler. And see, here's the thing: you never know who you're going to touch, It took me so long to get out of my own way to realize what kind of impact I could have on someone else, you know. And it really took meeting with Gregory Iron to fully realize and develop. But Gregory saw me on TV when he was 16 years old, and he was out of shape. He was sitting on his couch, and he felt sorry for himself because he has cerebral palsy. And he thought he could never
do anything in the wrestling business until he saw me perform on WWE television. And seeing me lit a fire under his ass, and he got in great shape and went to wrestling school and did all the necessary things to become a wrestler, and he lived out his dream, and his dream came true. And he has an awesome and unique and inspiring story in his own right. But, you know, serendipity has played a huge role in my life. And one of those serendipitous moments of my path crossing with Greg's, and, you know, we formed like Voltron, you know, like a handicapped Megazord. For some reason, like when we combine, you know, what he can't do, because it affects the right side of his body. So his right arm is pretty much useless, right? So what he can't do physically, I can do. And what I can't do physically, he can do with his legs. And so we watch each other's back, and we travel up and down the roads, and we share our story. And we make these awesome, awesome connections with the audience, more so than we would on our own. For whatever reason, I really don't know why, but it's certainly magic. And it's something that, you know, my formation with Greg is really the highlight of my wrestling career. And if my career ends tomorrow, I can look back very, very fondly and be very happy with what I've accomplished with Greg.
That's amazing. And when you were coming on the show this week, you know, you get kind of trepidatious in my shoes. You know, you don't know if you want to talk about the handicapped, you know, nature of things, if you're okay with discussing, you know, the loss of a leg, or, you know, Gregory, you know, discussing cerebral palsy. But it seems like you guys not only use it to empower you, but you use it to empower others, and you're open talking about it. And, you know, some people worry about it being the elephant in the room, and there you are using it to kind of your advantage, using it, you know, you're the heroes. You were, you know, you're standing up for, you know, every kid PT up past the knee. You know, every kid can look at you and say, you know, I'm one of him. You know, I'm one of, you know, Gregory Iron. You use it to empower yourselves and to empower others. And it's really, really cool that you guys have that distinction. But like I said before, if you guys couldn't work, if you guys weren't a great team, you know, that wears off really, really quickly. You know, the novelty of that. But you guys can go out there and have great matches with anybody on the card.
Thank you. Thank you. And it's so funny. I knew of Greg's story, and they kind of put us together, promotion in Cleveland. And I wasn't completely sold on the idea of working with Greg until I saw him firsthand in the ring, and I saw how freaking talented the guy was. And then once I was completely sold once I saw him in the ring, you know. But that's the thing. We get booked, and we're up and down these roads, and we're making these awesome connections with these amazing fans, not because of our handicaps, but because of our ability to overcome them and to create something and to be somebody, you know. And it's not just limited to people with handicaps, although that's the best part, man, like meeting fans in wheelchairs or with fans with cerebral palsy. It brings tears to my eyes to see, because you know, a little girl with cerebral palsy who's really shy, who just, like, with the biggest eyes looks up to Greg, you know? Like, that stuff, like, brings chills up and down my spine and makes everything worth it. But it's not just those fans. We relate to all kids. We relate to everybody because although our struggles or our challenges may be different, life is hard. It's hard for me, it's hard for you, it's hard for everybody listening. We all have challenges and struggles to overcome. Ours happen to be a little more physically obvious than others, but whether it's depression, whether it's anxiety, whether it's money issues, whether it's a death in the family, addiction, or anything going on, like nobody's immune to the troubles and tribulations of life. And what we represent is the possibility of what can happen if you don't quit before the miracle happens and you never give up.
We exactly talked about that last week on DDP Radio. The subject of Zach Gallen came up because we had found out you were doing DDP,
yes.
DDP yoga. And we talked about you last week, and that's exactly what we said. You know, Zach may have a limitation that we can see. I can look at you and I notice that you're missing a leg. But every single one of us has something going on in our lives.
Yes.
You know, everybody has something going on, and everybody is limited in some capacity. And you know, for someone like you who goes out there and says, I'm going to be a wrestler, despite the fact that probably everybody, you know, never thought you would be a wrestler. And the fact that you can go out there and you can, you know, kick some ass in DDP Yoga and get yourself in killer shape when, you know, you would have had the ultimate built-in excuse in life. You would have had the ultimate built-in excuse to sit there and do nothing and except wallow in your own self-pity. But for some reason, you find the need and you have the drive to get up and do things. And you talked about at the beginning of the show, you just stand up and do it. It's natural for you. Since 8 years old, you haven't had a leg. You've learned to modify in other ways. And it's so inspiring. And every single person who says they can't, oh, look at your story and look at, you know, Gregory Iron's story and tell me you can't.
Well, and thanks for you. I mean, you hit the nail on the head. You got the message 100%. And I guess I, you know, as you're speaking, and it's all resonating in my head, and I'm nodding feverishly along with what your words are coming out of your mouth. I can't help but to feel lucky, lucky in the fact that I have one leg, and lucky that I am a recovered alcoholic and drug addict, because I don't have a choice. See, there is no middle ground. It's either on the couch, drowning in my self-pity, drowning in alcohol, drowning in drug addiction, or it's the exact opposite, in full recovery, taking care of myself mentally, physically, spiritually, continuing to evolve as a human being, as a husband, and as a father, and as a child of God, and as a man of service, right? The half measures will avail me absolutely nothing. And there's no choice. It's either one or the other. And I guess I'm really lucky in that regard, that there is no choice, because the alternative is not very pretty at all. And so, because the alternative is so painful and it's so, not attractive to what I'm going for and what I want to accomplish, I can't help but to get out there and do it, man. And that's as simple as that. It's just a matter of doing it. And it's a matter of doing it and seeing it and making that commitment, seeing it through and not giving up. And for me, that brings such a sense of self-esteem and empowerment. And it's really been beneficial to my life, not only physically, but in other aspects as well.
It's kind of a cliche question, but knowing what you know now, being in the place where you are now, through all the bull crap and all the tough times, has it been worth it? Would you do it, you know, the way you did it to get to where you are right now?
I think so. I don't know how to answer that. I can't live in hypothetical land, because I'll get lost in hypothetical land, right? So it's like, you know, would I have changed some things and would I have done things different? I don't have time or the energy to waste on thinking about that stuff. And I don't have so that's in the past, right? And I don't have the time or energy to be thinking about the future. Like, oh, what would happen if WWE calls me and offers me a contract? Well, the fact is, as of right now, 9:46 in the evening, they haven't called me yet today and offered me a contract. So it's not something I can really worry about, because how I'm wired is I can easily get lost in all of that stuff. But here's what I do know. I wouldn't be where I'm at today, at 32 years old, as a father, as a husband, as a man of value, I wouldn't be here today without going through every single thing, or without taking every single drink, or taking every single drug, or getting beat up, knocked down, to the point of absolute desperation and hopelessness. If I hadn't gotten to that point, then I wouldn't be where I'm at today. So the answer to your question is no, man, because I can't. My life's never been better. So if my life's never been better, then obviously something, there must have been a reason for all of that bullcrap, as you put it, for it to happen, you know?
There's a lot of people on here at DDP Yoga, you know, who struggle at times, you know, struggle with their eating or their workouts or whatever it is they're struggling with. And sometimes people want to reboot things and do like 2.0, I'm starting over again. I never been a fan of that because I feel like every, you know, crappy thing that happened and every screw up that you do and every time you fall down is a learning experience. And it seems like you've learned more in your short life so far than, you know, most people have had the opportunity to do so. And I think that's great that, you know, you've been able to take all these life experiences, you know, experiences that people can't even imagine going through. And not only have you learned from them, you've come out the other end a better person. That's really inspiring, man.
Thank you. And you're right. It's I've lived my life so long, and I don't want to give off the impression that I'm this awesome, incredible, inspirational character for the past 32 years. The answer is no. I've been on this journey of recovery for 5 years. So this is all brand new to me as far as the values and the spiritual connection that I have now. But up until that point, I was a victim, man. I victimized myself. I defined myself by what happened to me, right? My father took off when I was 4. That's not fair. I lost my leg to cancer at 8 years old. That's not fair. WWE fired me at 19. That's not fair. The woman of my dreams left me when I was 20-something. That's not, you know, it's not fair. Everyone's out to get me. The fact of the matter is life isn't fair, right? So it's not about, like, what happens to you. Like you said, it's about what opportunities for growth can I take from this experience, from this illness, from this death, from this obstacle. What tools can I use to navigate through this? And ultimately, what can I gain from this to move on to the next one so I can continue to evolve into the man that I want to be?
Absolutely, man. I love that mentality. And we're getting towards the end of the show here, but I really want to ask you real quick. You said earlier in the show that you kind of did it backwards. WWE called when you were 19, and ever since then, you've done pretty well on the indie circuit in the TNA and the Ring of Honor. And there's a point right now, it's a weird point in the business that the territories have dried up, but there are still people, you know, working regularly on the indies. You know, there's a lot of indie stars, if you will. That are making a name for themselves. Ideal situation, what are you looking to accomplish in the remainder of, you know, your wrestling days? Is there anything you're looking to do to, you know, go forward with?
Absolutely not. It would be unfair of me to ask anything more from this business, which I've already laid out has saved my life numerous times in my 32 years. I've accomplished more than I ever dreamed was possible as an 18-year-old kid going into wrestling school for the first time. And right now, I love what I do. I'm so, like I said, it's taken 10, 11 years to get to the point where I feel like what I'm doing now isn't a step down from the glitz and the glamour of WWE. But I feel now by being on the road full-time doing the indies, speaking, you know, making the documentaries, doing all of this, being a stay-at-home dad, being an awesome or sometimes awesome husband, everything is kind of balanced out, and we're in this, like, I'm in the middle of this perfect storm, you know, and I love it because I can make a living at doing what I love, right? Which is getting out there and entertaining and performing and sharing my story. And I also enjoy the anonymity of it all, too. So when I go to restaurants, when I go to airports, I go to car rentals, people aren't staring at me, you know, or asking for my autograph or just kind of invading my privacy. And to me, I really enjoy that because that's the downside of working with WWE. The money is great. Don't get me wrong. The money is awesome. But you have to give up your privacy, your family's privacy. You got to be on the road 5 days a week. Right now, I have absolutely zero interest in all of that. And so I'm so happy that I get to do what I do now. And to be quite frank with you guys, wrestling is getting hot again. The indies are getting hot again. The houses are up across the board. Merchandise is selling really, really well. Right now is a really, really good time to be in the professional wrestling business. And so I'm enjoying the ride, man. And it's really an honor and a blessing anytime I can step foot, you know, no pun intended, anytime I can step foot into a wrestling ring, man, like I'm living out my dream, you know, my childhood dream, dude. So there is absolutely no complaints. There's no goals for me in wrestling. I'm doing what I'm doing, and whatever happens, happens.
And I got to give you a couple plugs. You got a couple of awesome T-shirts over at ProWrestlingTees.com, which is like my favorite store ever. Like I shop there like the amounts, and I love your Pigs Not Legs shirt. And you guys got some cool shirts over there as well. And ZachGowan.com is a really cool inspirational site. And you guys definitely want to check out the documentary. Like I said, I'm going to pick it up as soon as this is over. And I'm really excited to see that. And I really appreciate you coming on the show, man. And keep kicking ass with the DDP Yoga. I tell anybody of the boys who are working, if I was doing DDP Yoga when I was working, it would have been a whole different ball game. And you're looking amazing, man.
Thank you. I feel great. And it's not just about feeling great either. Like my core strength and my leg strength and my balance is through the roof. And those are things that you really can't see, you know, the naked eye can't see. But those have been, that's the major areas that have resulted in an improvement in my performance and being able to make better connections with crowds and to feel better about myself, man. I can't say enough about DDP Yoga.
A lot of people who do DDP Yoga, you know, focus on the balancing active thing and the stabilizing muscles that go with balancing. You must be a freaking pro at the stabilizing muscles and learning how to balance, you know, in the positions. Some people like me who have two left feet, you know, couldn't do the things that you can do because you've been doing it your entire life.
Well, I have no left feet, so you more you make up for it. No, I thought I had good balance and leg strength before I started doing DDP Yoga, considering the fact that I wrestle on one leg, but I was wrong, man. That was made very, very clear and apparent to me that my balance and my strength and my leg left a lot to be desired. And so that's why it sounds kind of weird, but all of like the deep squats and the slow burn squats, the one where you stay in a squat and then you bend down and you go back up again, the flying thunderbolts, man, like all of those, have helped, you know, my core and my knee stabilizers and my quad, so tremendously that it's made such an improvement, overall, you know, in my life.
That's awesome to hear, man. And you're looking great. You're feeling great. Better than ever. Zach Gowan, you know, he's been to the brink of hell and back. And, you know, I can't say enough good things about you. Your story's inspirational. And I really appreciate you coming on the show tonight because at DDP Radio, we always love the inspirational stories because that's what Dallas is all about. Dallas, you know, thrives on people defying the odds, thrives on people overcoming things that in their life. And I don't know any more stories more unique than yours, Zach, and I really appreciate you coming on the show tonight. If you guys get a chance, head over to ZachGowan.com and definitely go to his Pro Wrestling Tees store. He's got some awesome shirts on there. I love the Eggs Not Legs shirt. That's hilarious.
Thanks so much, Mike, man. I appreciate the interest and all of the kind words that you said about me, and thanks for giving me a platform to share my story, man. It really means the world to me.
Anytime, man. Thank you, Robert, for getting this all done, too. For Mike Mullins, for Robert McLaren, Stacey Morris will be back with us next week. Want to thank Zach Gowan one more time. One more time, ZachGowan.com. You want to pick up that documentary. It's going to be a must-see. It looks awesome. Thank you, Zach, very much. For DDPRadio.com, remember, every day you wake up, there's still air in your lungs, your heart's still beating. It's another day to turn it all around. Keep on rocking. Keep on rolling. DDPRadio.com. Feel the bang, guys. See ya.
Checked it today, man. That was a great workout, man.
The powerbomb set up by Paige. Into the diamond cutter.
I don't believe it. Diamond cutter out of the powerbomb.
We're going home.
You've been listening to DDP Radio. Tune in again next week for another edition of DDP Radio with more great guests, inspiration, and news from Diamond Dallas Page and Team DDP Yoga. Keep up all the great work and, most importantly,
own your life.
Yoga and Blog Talk Radio.